Hi, welcome to All These Things Podcast. I'm James.
And I'm Artesia.
We're a married couple in our late 20s navigating life in corporate America.
One part auditor.
One part PR professional.
No kids yet, but in the meantime, we enjoy traveling, finding unique events, and plotting our next adventure. On All These Things, we talk about all things relationships, success, culture, wealth, inspiration, and whatever else is top of mind. Listen in and enjoy All These Things Podcast.
Let's start the show.
So we have a great lineup this week. We're going to talk a little bit about goals and how it's different from the types of things that you set out for when you're maybe 5 or 10 versus when you're 50 or 60. After that, we're going to chat a bit about relationships and how you can appropriately engage or disengage someone who's trying to talk to you. And lastly, we're going to talk about adulting. Do we really think that everybody is a master at being an adult, or do they maybe need to take a few classes to help them understand what that's really like? Join us for this episode of All These Things.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another week of All These Things.
So this is going to be our second episode as we get back into things. And I'm really looking forward to chatting because we've been on the road.
This is actually episode 28.
But it's our second episode since we came back.
Yeah, but it's still episode 28. Like, we're not going to next week be like episode 3.
All right, guys. So it's going to be that type of episode. So get ready. I hope you're ready. But anyway, it's good to be back. We were both on the road, so that's always a little bit interesting, at least for me. It's kind of interesting the fact that you and I can really be gone at the same time. When you travel and I'm home, I'm usually fine with it, and vice versa.
Yeah, but sometimes we do have a week like this where you were in San Francisco, I was in Philly, and we literally, like, you caught a flight Sunday morning, I catch a train ride Sunday night, and we connect on Wednesday. I mean, it's not always normal for us to both be traveling. But I travel a lot, so it's not abnormal for us to be apart. So in addition to travel, we also went to see the movie I Am Not Your Negro.
Yes, which you were pushing for, and I'm glad you kind of made us really go see
that it. That movie was so good. Like, talk about something that's relevant and also, like, very interesting. The way that they narrated James Baldwin's unfinished work and layered that with imagery from now, imagery from back in the day, clips of old movies. They did a really awesome job visually on that.
He just seemed to me to be such an interesting person. And, you know, you see the quotes in memes on Facebook and Instagram occasionally, but this was the first time I really got a chance to kind of look at him outside of a 30-second clip and really see who James Baldwin was in terms of how he really responded to things. And it's kind of cool to know that in that time that there was somebody out there speaking that clearly about the racism. And it's almost as if he had transcended it and was always looking at it from the outside.
Yeah,
like, I'm outside of this thing and I almost feel weird for being outside of it because no one seems to see what I see.
Mm-hmm. And his perspective is really interesting in that way. And a big part of the movie was his perspective of looking at Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Medgar Evers.
Mm-hmm.
And
all three he knew well.
Yeah. And which I think, again, gives you that interesting perspective, because a lot of people are looking at the person on the podium, and
right,
he's looking at them from that, I'm your friend, I've been here in the movement with you, I know what you stand for, on camera and off camera, so to speak. And so his portrayal of them in this film was really interesting to me. And one thing that, you know, he pointed out that's factual for everything the movie pointed out really well was just how young Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and Medgar Evers were when they were killed.
Right.
And you're thinking, okay, Martin Luther King really started to become a leader in the civil rights movement at the age of 26. Like,
yeah, that's amazing. We're older than him.
Yeah. And to
when
have,
he was doing such monumental things.
Right. To have, you know, the whole nation paying attention to you and listening to what you say and looking at you for leadership. It's kind of crazy. But one of the things that I found even more, I guess, infuriating in the film was how relevant it was to today's time. And they do a really good job of, like, putting that piece into the film. You know, the whole thing with young black people in general getting killed and shot, the relationship with the police and the black community. And it's just like, what's the quote? The more things change, the more things stay the same.
Right.
And it kind of, like, really boils your blood when you start to think about, like, how many things have not yet changed.
Like, oh, yes.
It's like we're still fighting for some of the same things.
I was angry at the end of that movie. because you just think about the context. And maybe that's a true sign of some of the documentaries you're starting to see come out right now, that, you know, people is asking, you know, what's the purpose? Or you need to kind of answer that through the work that you're doing. I saw a parallel between this and 13th. And 13th more so really trying to string together the parallels between what was then and now right next to each other. And I think what was interesting about this documentary is they didn't need to do that. All they did was marry some of his comments about then and matched it up to an image from now. Mm-hmm. And you just clearly see how they fit together in the same story.
Right.
And
because the whole narration, magical. The whole quote writing part of it was from his unfinished work. So it was literally James Baldwin's thoughts narrated by Samuel L. Jackson and layered with images from now. You know what I mean? Like, it was extremely impressive. This movie is for everyone. I would encourage anyone I know to see it. This is for people who are woke, people who are trying to get woke, and people who don't really understand what's going on. It really is for the whole spectrum of people.
I agree. Make sure you see it. I think also on top of that, just start to pay attention to some of the more socially focused documentaries that are coming out, because they're telling some really interesting stories in ways I think we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm. So if we kind of flip pop culture for a minute, in the past week since our last podcast, Beyonce has also released another big statement.
I was about to be like, she released an album? I didn't hear about it.
Just a complete 180 departure. We're not going to spend a lot of time on Beyonce. This is not that kind of podcast. It's not that kind of podcast. But we just want to say we did see her, you know, announcement about her twins. But you have a funny story from someone in your office who thought they were cool, but not really.
Well, the twins are still cool. They just made a very big misstep. So what happened was somebody in the office actually brought up the fact that they said, you know what, I don't understand, and maybe I'm too old because I don't understand what the big fascination is with Beyonce and this photo she took. And they said, you know, I just think it was kind of tacky what she did. Mm. And I was like, you know, we've talked about it on this podcast, how I don't feel like I'm a member of the Beehive. But at the same time, when people say things about Beyonce, I do kind of like these antennas go up. Because I'm like, why are we criticizing Beyonce? Because she took a photo? Granted, hey, the veil thing was a little weird to me, but whatever. The point of it is, the response to her in defense, so somebody who is a member of the Beehive, said to her, well, you know, she's Beyonce and she can kind of, you know, do whatever because she can't really do wrong. And you should be careful with what you say because the Beehive will come for you. And then, so I was focused on that person.
The Beehive?
The Beehive. So while my antenna was focused on this person over here who was criticizing Beyonce, I quickly flipped to this supposed supporter didn't know that it wasn't the Beehive, that it was the Beehive.
That's insane.
And I, you know, there are moments in time when you have to let things pass because whatever, because it's not that important. And then there's moments when you have to put a stake in the ground.
And you put a stake in the ground because you're a member. Go ahead.
I'm not a member.
Proceed with the story.
But I just had to quickly tell her. And before I could even think about it, she's like, yeah, the Beehive. And I was like, Beehive?
I just want to say that the reason why you fast corrected that person is because you are Stanny.
Okay? I'm not Stanny. I don't have a title subscription.
You heard somebody dissing her and you were like, oh no, this I must comment
no,
on.
No, I did not say, oh no, this I must comment on. I did look at the
Honey,
person.
You just
My
said
face
it.
Probably said, oh no, this I must comment on. But I didn't say anything.
But you actually did say, you corrected them and said, oh, this is this the Beehive.
I corrected them because that was just too bad. Like, it was bad grammar, bad pronunciation.
bad grammar.
Bad, yeah, phonics, come on.
Just bad form in general.
Beehive. Is her name spelled B-A-Y?
Well, it's so funny. Like, this guy at my job, and I guess this is kind of a sign that you're getting old. Maybe 30 is kind of the age of getting old.
30 is the new 12.
No. Anyways, this guy in my office, he is, like, right out of college. And so we're talking about Beyonce, everything like that. And he goes, oh, I don't really know, you know, anything about Destiny's Child, but I really like Beyonce.
Hmm? How did that come up unprompted?
It didn't come up unprompted because we were talking about the photo.
You were talking about Destiny's Child?
We were talking about Beyonce, but it just kind of came, I don't know exactly how it came up.
Okay.
But he was like, I don't know Destiny's Child. And I was like, how old am I that some people I'm working with don't know Destiny's Child. That's like, oh, I don't really know anything about the Jackson 5, but Michael, like, he's good. That's like what I heard, and I was like,
that's probably
are you kidding?
It's probably an appropriate comparison. That is, they don't know. It kind of reminds me about the Super Bowl when Missy performed last year.
Yes.
And they hadn't heard the song. They're like, who is this person? I'm like, y'all don't know who Missy is?
Yeah. They were like, she's a really good rapper.
A cool
like,
artist.
Oh, no kidding.
Wow.
But I guess we're showing we're officially like getting old. We're becoming the parental generation.
There are people we know and love and have affection for that they just passed them right over.
Yeah. Anyways, that was our week. We will go start the show with Be Better.
Be Better is our segment where we give you a tip or trick that you can use during your week to make your work life or your relationship life better.
Okay, I will kick off Be Better. And my Be Better this week is an oldie but goodie, and the Be Better is set short-term goals. They'll give you small wins that will keep you motivated. And for me, I've kind of implemented this with respect to my working out plan. And that reminds me of a story that I need to tell you that happened in the gym. So I will say that at the end of Be Better. Because,
wait, I have to wait now?
Yeah. No, at the end of Be Better. Like, I must tell you this story. It's kind of crazy.
All right. Go.
But set short-term goals. They'll keep you motivated. I think people have heard this before, but the small wins will give you the motivation to keep going. And then ultimately those small wins turn into big wins. So last month, I just wanted to check in at the gym, you know, an average of 3 times a week. And I did that. And then this month, my goal is to go to the gym more than 15 times in the month of February. And so those are just, you know, 30-day goals, but they should have big gains by the end of it, really get me back in. As an aside, this is also a good practice to do with money and with getting down your debt. So the whole notion of paying down your smallest debt balances, it's again, those small wins. So if you have a credit card that has $1,000 on it, pay that off, you know, give yourself X amount of months and pay it off. And then you have the win to celebrate of like, I got this credit card down. I'm done with that shit. So you can kind of move on.
It is nice to get the win, though.
It is, yeah. So set some short-term goals, get some wins for yourself.
Okay. So my Be Better is, I'm going to steal a note from our good friends at the New York Metropolitan Transit Association when they talk about the fact that if you see something, say something. So we all see that sign. I'm going to tweak this message a little bit. If you see something you want, say something to your supervisor about it.
Hmm.
The thing about, when I was in San Francisco, I met up with somebody, a younger guy, who is in the PR world. And we were talking, and he was sharing some of his goals of what he wants to do internationally and asking me how I had done some work that way. And I said, honest to goodness, I didn't plan it all out to happen the way it did. But when I saw something where I was working that I was interested in, I would always tell my supervisor about it. And he said, well, you mean you would ask to do that thing? I said, not initially. I was just expressing my interest in it, letting them know I was curious. If there was somebody who was doing it, I tried to find out and sit down and talk with them about it. And then at the end, if I really wanted to do it, I say, if there's another opportunity that comes up, let me know. Or if anything more happens with this, I'd love to find out more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that just put it in the universe and put it in a few people's ears so that if that thing did come in, a new project or a new opportunity, new professional development thing that I could do, that they would at least think of me as a part of the group of people as they decide who does it.
Okay.
So if you see something that you're interested in, say something to your supervisor about it. Really simple. It will actually, I think, be very instrumental to how you get the things you want professionally.
Awesome. Okay, to my gym story. Okay. I am literally working out in the gym. It's kind of a small area. There was like nobody around. I'm doing some like tricep curls and
getting the weights.
Yeah, just you know, 7 pounds, just
trying
small
to get
weight.
Firm.
So I'm doing the exercise, and this guy comes up to me. He's not a trainer, but he works at the gym.
Okay.
And he's like, "Hey, you know, you should try doing this." And so he basically shows me like a more like complex way to do.
How did he show you this? Where are we going with
okay,
this story?
No, I just want to tell you the story. Okay, so basically, like, okay, so I'm lifting here, and he's like, oh, like, if you do this, it's like a harder way to do this
arm
press.
So he has his own weight, and he's showing you?
This is not the point. This is not the point of the story.
Okay, well, it was tell fine. Your story, and we'll get back to this point.
Okay. So I was like, oh, okay, great. Like, thank you. And then he's like, yeah, you know, if you really want to lose weight, you know, you really got to do cardio. And he's like, I used to be 300 pounds, and now I'm like 175. So, like, I know, you know, what worked for me. He was like, you got to get on this machine. You got to go 15% incline. He's like, just 30 minutes, just do it. He's like, it'll melt off in a minute. He's like, you should also do some crunches in the steam room and like do like 100 sit-ups in the steam room and do this cardio. He was like, that's how you're going to burn the fat. And then he like points to my stomach and he's like, that's how you're going to lose like the stomach.
Wow. Wow.
I was like, okay, thanks, you know, like, thanks for the tips, like, congrats on your weight loss. He's like, do you have 5 minutes? Come upstairs with me.
Come upstairs where? So,
no, because he works there, he has access to, like, you know how the gym has those, like, high-tech, like, you know, like, if you were to go meet with a trainer, they would have you, like, stand on the high-tech scale and get, like, your body mass, fat, and, you know, the whole thing.
You're right.
So he's like, oh, yeah, come in here. He's like, they would charge you, like, to, like, do this. But, like, I know how to use the machine, so just, you know, step on this. So we do the thing. It prints out my body results or whatever. And he looks at it. He's like, whoa, you are way over the normal range.
Wow, wow, wow. What is going on here?
He goes, wow, you are way over the normal range. And then he points so much. He, like, points at the sheet. And he's like, you got to be way over here, but you're way over here.
Wow. Where's this guy from? Because it sounds like something that would happen in D.C. real slick.
No, this is in New York.
No, but I mean, like, where is he from?
I don't know.
Okay.
No, but he was like, you got a lot that you need to lose to get down here. And I, in my head, I'm like, were you or were you not 300 pounds? Like,
well, he has made it to the mountaintop.
Right. But I'm like, what did your like original scan look like? And he wasn't even saying it like it actually didn't come across as an insult. But I was like, but you do know, like, this is a rude way to say these things. Because he was like, dang. And he's like, yeah, you need to like work on this. And I was like, but you see me in real life. Mm. It's not like you needed like the piece of paper, right?
Right.
So then he's like, come with me. And he walks me over.
Where are we going now? This is too much.
He walks me over to the machine that he's talking about. It's not the treadmill. It's like the other thing that you like walk or run on, but it's like the actual treads.
Right.
Like it kind of looks like a tire almost.
Right.
And so he's like, this is the machine that you need to get on.
And do that at a 15 incline?
Yeah, he said do it at a 15 incline. He was like, 30 minutes. He's like, it'll just make a big difference. And that's what they always say, like the cardio really like burns the fat. He was like, don't mess around with those weights, like you need to just like lose fat. Like, okay. All right.
Okay,
thank you. And I was like, thanks so much, you know. He was like, yeah, he's like, give yourself like 2 weeks, he's like, and then you're gonna see all your numbers are gonna come down, like I tell you, I've done it. And then he looked at me and he was like, but you probably have to watch what you eat too.
Oh no.
Yes. He was like, I see you got that water in your hand. You probably need to increase the water. I was like, you don't know.
You see me drinking water. Now you're telling me you probably need to increase it. I'm drinking water. Damn.
Well, I'm at the gym, so of course I have water. But he was just like, yeah, you know, like you can't be eating those carbs. And I was like, you don't know me.
The fact that you are still talking to this man.
See. Listen, but I got the body thing for free.
Okay, fine.
People pay for that.
Fine. You got something. You got a whole lot more than the body thing, though.
Anyway, I thought it was so funny. And I was like, I need to reserve this story specifically for the podcast. Because
I feel like you got punked somehow by this dude.
No, I didn't get punked because I've seen him in there a lot. He really, like, he works at the gym.
Okay, I was like, where's like, the he's hidden a
really,
camera?
No, he's a really, like, regular dude. He's there.
He just decided to say a word to you today.
Well, it's funny because I was exercising. I saw him, like, walk past me a couple times. And the third time I like, stood up because I was like, what? Like, what the hell's going on? And then that's when he came up to me. So, yeah. But I got the thing for free. He informed me that, in his opinion, I need to lose some weight.
Wow.
So, that's the story.
Well, you can do what he says and keep up with what you're doing with the weights. Because I'm seeing it.
Agreed. All right. Time for All Things Success.
In All Things Success, we discuss how you can navigate workplace issues, advance your career, and be a boss in general.
Okay, so this week for All Things Success, we're going to talk about goals. I found this interesting video on the Huffington Post where they talk to people ages 5 to 75 and they ask them to briefly describe what their goals are in life. It's really interesting because you start to see how at first, people's goals are like, I want to be a princess. I want to win an Oscar.
I was about to say, what did a five-year-old
say?
Yeah.
And then it goes to people saying, like, I want my kids to be happy. I want enough money for retirement. And then you get to, like, the 70-year-olds, and they're like, I want to enjoy this day. I want to enjoy the next day. So you kind of see this kind of range of goals that people have. So I want to play this video. If anybody's listening, this is about 5 minutes long. And then we'll kind of get our thoughts on it afterwards.
Okay, cool.
It has a goalie? No. I'm not really sure, actually.
No. Be very famous and very rich. Like, I would like to live in Connecticut.
I have a lot. I want to be famous. So just be happy.
I'm deciding between an actor or a magician.
I really want to make a difference in life. To be, like, one of the first petite Victoria's Secret angels.
Probably to be a very famous actress.
To be happy.
To write and publish a novel.
I want to be a house husband.
To find somebody to spend the rest of my life with. I would like to raise a family. And I would like to have a career that I'm passionate about.
To be happy.
I want to wake up every day and love what I do.
To be financially and economically independent.
To be happy.
To win an Oscar.
To travel the world.
To travel more.
To have creative control of what I do.
Really want like a bungalow with a backyard and I'm just like running around.
To be okay with where I'm at in my life.
30.
Freedom. I just want to be able to travel when I want to travel.
I have the goal of buying a house.
I would definitely like to travel more.
I just want to get paid for being myself. To always wake up with a passion for the day that's going to come.
Retire early and travel.
Be happy and to be successful.
To raise my children to be respectful and successful.
To be happy. Just to be a good person.
Retire and make sure all my ducks are in a row.
I want to get to the point where the punches don't even feel like punches.
To win an Academy Award.
To pass on the things that have worked out well in my life.
Live life to the fullest. Don't take anything for granted.
To see the creative projects that I've been working on succeed.
To live an independent, happy life.
To create and to continue my art business.
Make sure that my children are independent. To be a really good mother to my children and be a good role model for them.
Just to be happy, man. To make a difference.
Live a very long time, very healthy.
World domination.
To be content.
Stay happy. Be happy.
To be happy.
To learn as much as I can about myself. Be in control of myself.
Continue to have my health.
I believe I've already done that. Not totally completed it, but I've retired early. Bought a place in Manhattan and living here and enjoying.
To make a 60. Living singing and acting.
My goals right now are mostly for my son.
When I die, I don't want to regret not having done things.
Right now is happiness.
To help others and be happy.
I want to try and make life better for someone else.
I just look forward to actually most of my days. It's a good time.
To leave something behind that people will say, oh yeah, she's here.
To stay calm and not panic.
To make a difference.
70.
Like, to win an Oscar.
I aim to live each day with an appreciation.
To be as much as myself as I can.
I want to be happy. I want to make the people around me happy.
I want to go out with my boots on. I want to keep moving.
So that's it. What do you think?
Well, shout out to all the people who said they want to win an Oscar.
I know, that's like one of the most popular ones. And then even that guy, I think in his late 60s, said that too.
Yeah, I'm like, look, in high school, I used to be like, I want to be an actor for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, maybe that's why I love all the films and stuff like that. But yeah, shout out to those people, because it's like, all right, here's something really big and creative. One thing I noticed, though, throughout, people talked about being happy.
Mm-hmm.
But the happiness requests got more frequent as people got to, like, 50 range.
Right.
And you started seeing people, I just want to be happy. So I noticed that. And then one more thing I noticed is that as people got older, it started to shift outside of themselves.
Right.
40s and 50s and even really 60s, people started talking about their kids or what they could do for other people out just different. I just want to help people.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them, I've, like, the woman who said, I just want to do something that people remember me by to say that she was here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a special one, I think. And one thing that caught my eye is people talking about, I want to have enough to retire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people just want to be able to live out their days comfortably.
Right.
So kind of segueing that into our own personal life, what was 20-year-old James's goal for 30, and then what is your 30-year-old goal for now? And keep it in the context of, like, a brief statement, because I know that you have, like, a lot of goals, and I don't think people have time for that.
Hashtag goals.
Hashtag short goals.
Right.
Not short term, but just short.
Trying to keep me in a box. So, 20-year-old James did not have goals for 30-year-old James.
Really?
20-year-old James was a junior in college, senior in college. And I just wanted to be successful. I just really wanted to be successful. I was like, I want to, like, get an agency job. And so I wasn't thinking at 30.
You weren't thinking anything like where you want to be at 30?
No. I was thinking, like, what is in front of me?
Okay.
So that one was, I so there was congrats. Some things.
So you succeeded on the goal.
I succeeded in the goal because there wasn't one.
If you didn't have any expectations, you've made it.
I will say there were some things that I knew. There were goals in terms of life stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I had put that all after 30. So
even, yeah, you put getting married. And
yeah,
having
I was
kids after
I, for whatever reason I had decided 32 was the right age, and I was like, so that's when you get married, that's when you have kids, that's when you quote unquote settle down. 32 was the year, and I don't know why I decided
it was
that
based
that was,
on nothing.
But somehow it was fixed though, because I had no real feeling, but I was like 32, that's it. I don't know, but. So I've succeeded and surpassed.
No expectations.
Well, I beat the 32 part.
And then what about your goal now? Now that you're 30, what's your goal? If someone's asking you the same question and they ask them.
Oh, man. I mean, my goal, I want to rise to the top. And I want to just really run something remarkable.
Hmm.
So that's one short goal. And the second short goal, and I think about this a lot from a professional standpoint. I want people to see and fully recognize the extent of my talent.
Well, that's a goal of yours?
It is. Because there's so many times when.
So acknowledgement of your talent. Acknowledgement, recognition.
Understanding is what I want. I don't need to be acknowledged and celebrated publicly or anything. I just want people to see, when they see things and they see challenges or they see problems, I want them to know that I can solve them. Or I can be helpful there or instrumental to a process. Because sometimes I feel like I get shortchanged. Even at 30, I still find myself having to prove to people I can do things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even angry about it. I'm just like, but why did you underestimate me?
Mm-hmm.
So I want people to see and know by the time I get to 40, he is competent, capable.
Results driven.
Right.
Yeah.
I want them to know, okay, if we give that to him, he can do it and believe it because I can. So I want people to question me less.
Okay.
So what about you?
So for the 20-year-old Artesia, where I thought I'd be at 30, that was me in college, sophomore year. I was definitely thinking I would be married with kids by 30. I wouldn't necessarily say that was a goal. That's just somewhere I guess I thought I would be.
No, so similar. You just picked a number and 30 was it?
Well, I thought I thought those things would be done such that I would be like by 30 I would already have these things.
Okay.
I saw myself working, but I don't remember like a specific goal, maybe to your point, like, I don't remember a specific goal being like when I'm 30 outside of like what life kind of looks like.
Partly because for me, at least, 30 was just like so far away.
I know.
It's like you're 30, you're old. You're just out there.
No, we're not old. We're not old, like not even in the least bit.
I was so. The only people I knew who were like 30 and older were like parents of that age. Like my cousins were still in like the early 20s or younger.
Yeah.
So that whole idea of like 30.
Well, it
like,
seemed pretty far off. I mean, how far do you think 40 is?
And 40 I know is 40 closer seems, now.
Oh, but you can see yourself as 40?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm not there yet. Maybe I'm not enough into 30. It seems closer now. 40 is pretty far down the line, but 20 to 30 went by pretty quick, so.
Yeah, I work with 40-year-olds, so I'm like, this is...
You can see yourself there.
I can see it. It's visible.
Yeah. My goals for right now? Jeez. My goals for right now is to execute and obtain my vision board. And honestly, like, that includes a lot of luxury vacation spots that, like, I really want to visit. It includes some family and friends relationship building. And it includes, like, meeting a bunch of famous people.
Well, those are all good things.
I also have a business idea on there that has been on there for a minute. So if that ends up being into fruition, that would also be a goal achieved. So I think that, basically right now, my goal at 30 is to keep my vision board and actually manifest those things.
My goal for right now...
We already did yours.
No, see, I have so many goals. This I keep bringing it back. This is
what I said. Brevity. Shortness.
Brevity. Wow.
Yes. Wow. I told you at the beginning of this, I said, keep your goals short, because...
You can't contain my goals.
I can.
They're mine.
I can.
They're mine.
Who edits the pod?
Not yours.
I edit the pod.
But mine. Yes.
What were you going to say?
No, I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. Well, you can hold on to that for the next
time. Yep. Just me, myself, and I. That's one all more... I got in the end.
No, you have me. That's sad.
Just me and my goals. Hashtag goals.
Hashtag goals.
Hashtag goals. All right.
Okay, one last thing on this point. So it is February 9th, the day that we're publishing this podcast. So that's about a month and a half almost from New Year's resolutions. Are you still keeping yours?
I don't feel like I had resolutions. Did I make some? This year has just been one of those where I feel like it started. And it was nice that it started, but I didn't do the normal prep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still working on my vision board. I have one from last year. You know, you do the multi-year thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like to reset my board every year. Mm-hmm. Give me a new salary target. Give me some new things to focus on in terms of life and health and activities. The one thing I know for sure is that this year I want to pick something on that board and literally throw everything I have at it.
Okay. You're kind of, you know, you're 1 month down, so you need to make the board.
I know.
Because now you're only 11 months left.
See, right after this, I got to start working on that board.
For me, I have kept up with my gym going resolution.
Okay.
We got those gym memberships at the end of December, and I'm still going.
Good.
If you guys are keeping up with your resolutions, let us know. Check in. Because I think I'm going to keep this on the list as like a recurring thing. Like, are we really keeping up with it? Or are we falling off? So but
right now, I'm due to surpass all my resolutions.
Because you don't
have any. Because I don't have any.
Oh my gosh, you're so that person.
I guess.
All right, next up, all things relationships. In all things relationships, we dig into the hot topics all couples deal with from both a men's and women's perspective. Okay, for all things relationships, we just watched the most recent episode of This Is Us, okay? And one of the main characters goes to a weight loss camp, and she gets hit on by some guy at the camp who's not her fiancé, and he basically says, like, I'm interested in you, and we are going to hook up. Come to my cabin, because this is going to happen. And she is kind of like, no, it's not. Get away from me. But she says it almost, not in a joking way, but she doesn't say it with like a sternness. She's just like, you annoy me. And we were watching it and I paused and I was like, James, do you think that that is an okay answer to give to somebody if they're making advances to you? And in, as a married couple, do we have a like duty to each other to put a like full and clear stop when somebody's hitting on us?
I don't think we have a duty to each other to do that. I think we have a duty as individuals to stop people from saying and doing things we don't want them to do. And it's about being clear and having an intention around it. She's acting as if she's annoyed by this person, mm-hmm. but every time they come near her, she stops and listens to what they say.
Okay.
She engages them in a conversation. It's like, if you don't want this person...
She did not engage him in a conversation.
Yes, she did. He says something to her and she responds.
Okay,
he
but says, she was standing there...
You know what I think? What do you think? No, you don't care what he thinks, so don't say anything to him. Or if you're going to say something to him, say, I don't care what you think. Please get away.
Okay, so that's get what you're away. Saying. So you're saying you have to be... You have to explicitly say, like, no, get away, I don't care about you.
And
you have to say things
And what you
clearly.
Say has to match your facial expression and general demeanor. There's a way you can tell when somebody's not wanting to talk to you, and she needs to employ all of that.
So if,
it's not about being in a couple. That's just...
So if somebody... No, it is about being in a couple. Because if you're not in a couple, then you don't necessarily have to say no. You can, like, you can take somebody up on their offer. The whole point is, if you are in a marriage or a relationship, if somebody else, like, tries to holler at you, is there anything that you can do besides explicitly say, stop the advances? Is there any gray area there?
Well, now I'm losing your question. Is there anything else you could do?
No, but I'm saying, like, so if you notice somebody was flirting with you, basically. Okay?
If you notice somebody's flirting,
they're making an advance, do you have to be like, do not flirt with me? I am a married man, and I do not want you to make any comments to me. I'm not interested.
What I'm trying to say is you don't have to do all that. You could just skip to the last part, which is I'm not interested, and be clear about the fact that you're not interested. Make it clear in your words, make it clear in your face, make it clear in your demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you're responsible for.
But what if you're put in a position where, say, like, you work with the person, so you don't want to make it awkward in being, like, this is not me talking, this is a question.
Okay.
All right, so if you don't want to make it awkward, can you not be a little bit more soft in the messaging?
See, I don't believe in, like, not being awkward and being soft. Do you want them to keep talking to you or not? Because if you're soft in the messaging, they're going to feel like there's an opening. And your responsibility is to close it. There is no opening.
Mm-hmm.
Shut it down.
So you basically think it's risky to leave it open. To give a soft message of no. Like a soft message of like, oh, you're so annoying. So like if somebody
No,
was
because
like,
that is that could be viewed as flirting yourself.
So if somebody was hitting on me and I'm like, so-and-so stop. Like, you're so annoying.
That
and
could
then
be
I
seen,
move on.
That could be seen as flirting.
How?
Because there's some people who play hard to get. There's some people who tease like that. So that's not a response to somebody who's flirting with you that you want to have stop flirting with
So
you.
What do you say?
Stop flirting. I'm not interested.
You wouldn't... I don't think that you would say that to somebody in real life. Stop flirting. I'm not interested.
If this is
that's
somebody close in proximity.
Yeah.
And you need to give it to someone. In the case of the show, he's a repeat offender. He's finding her and flirting with her multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And at no point, in my opinion, did she really shut him down in a way that would encourage him to stop. And then he comes back and says, my offer still stands.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in cabin 13.
Mm-hmm.
And you just stand there, and she stood there with this look like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this.
Right, like she was kind of on the far end. Like she's like, I don't know how to respond. So I'm just going to look at you with like weepy eyes. And
look away.
And look away.
And
yeah.
I'm like, no, that looks like, oh, I'm thinking about coming to cabin 13, but I don't know if that's a good idea.
And
that's
what do you
not
think
saying
she should have said, no chance, bro, I'm out?
Not interested at all. If you haven't figured it out at all this week, every
but,
time.
Like, you can't look at, maybe you're saying you can.
Yes,
but I'm
he's
saying,
very
like,
blatantly telling you to come have sex with him
in
his cabin.
If this was a work situation and you had
somebody,
to be with somebody regularly, would you look at them in their face and say, no, not interested at all?
Yes, like, and you should. If somebody you're working with, come on, is like, fine, you're going to you're working with this person regularly. They always flirt with you. Now you're at a conference and you're in Florida. And they tell you, well, my offer still stands. I'm in room 2435.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean you don't want to make it awkward? They made it awkward by making a sexual advance. They told you what room to come to tonight.
Right. I mean, they made the advance. They're the single one. They can make advances.
Right. So you're not making it awkward by shutting it down. They made it awkward by taking that risk.
Right.
But my whole point is, if you never shut them down, they don't view it as a risk. They view it as a fun challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she might show up.
So... Okay, fine. But so where's the line in that, right? Like, if you go to, if not you specifically, but, like, if one person goes to, like, a party and people are dancing, can you dance with the other gender? Can you dance with somebody else?
Yeah, I always feel like it's fine to dance.
Okay, but that sometimes can get, like, very close.
You can dance. Do not dance with the person that is flirting with you that you want to stop. That would be a signal in the wrong direction. You cannot really joke around with this person. You cannot do anything till they know that they are supposed to stop flirting with you and then stop flirting with you. It's just that clear.
So again, like taking the work scenario. So if that person worked with you, you guys are at the holiday party.
There are other people at the holiday party. And then the music is
going,
the
DJ's going, and there's other people at the holiday party.
Talk to them. Don't talk to this person. That person comes up
and they're like, James, come on, like, let's dance.
No.
It's LMFAO, blah, blah, blah. And they're just, you know,
nope.
Going.
Sorry. Gonna grab a drink.
But you're gonna grab a drink, but then you're probably gonna dance with somebody else later.
Right, and that's fine, because that gives them this message, not you, not interested. That's what you have to do.
Okay. I agree with you, but I just think in practical application, is it that easy for people?
I think it's easy, and the longer you let it go on, the harder it gets to stop.
Right,
because they're gonna get signals. No, they're gonna get more aggressive with what they say and do. Mm. And
have you ever experienced it, or have you ever seen anybody experience this where like somebody's come like and putting on like advances and somebody's trying to get out of the situation? Like the best example I can think of is from that movie with Beyonce and Idris Elba.
Well, that was an extreme situation. I mean, the woman was psychopath. She did try to kill them. It was a lot. That's not a good example.
But everybody watching that movie is like, you have to stop this woman. She's crazy. Like, do not let her think that you are any way interested. What I'm saying is, like, in practical application, it becomes hard. That's why he in the movie, like, struggled to, like, be very clear. Because he was like, oh, it's nothing. Like, I don't want to be rude. I don't want to make this a big deal. So you're just saying, like, say it. But I'm like, that's probably hard for people.
Yeah, I'm sure it's hard for people. What's harder, dealing with this awkward person constantly there? But that makes me even have a question mark when I see people in situations like that and they don't stop it. It makes me think, is some part of you really wanting this attention? Do you really like it?
Well, everybody likes attention.
But no.
And I think, hold on, everybody does like, whether you're in a relationship, single or married, like
everybody likes a little bit of attention.
Or indicates to you that you're attractive, everybody likes that.
A little bit of attention.
Right.
A flirtatious, you look great tonight, is very different from a flirtatious, hey, we should do something after this. And there are a few things that happen in between there, and if you don't shut it down, you're going to get to, we should do something after this. You're going to get to, hey, I'm in this room, do you want a key? Mm-hmm. And if you're trying not to get there, stop it. That's all I'm saying. Stop it before you get there.
And you think it's that easy?
And I think it is easy. I think people can do it. Only you can prevent forest fires.
Oh my god, you said that last week.
I always say it because it's true. Okay? Smokey knew what was up.
Okay, I definitely want people's thoughts on this because I agree with you 100%, but I just think it's really hard to actually apply, and I think it's hard because people feel awkward about shutting people down. That's it?
That's it. I mean, it's people feel awkward, but sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
Okay, you guys, let us know what you think on that. Next up, All Things Culture.
In All Things Culture, we highlight the most interesting things that cross our social feeds during the week.
Okay, for All Things Culture, James, I found this online. Did you know that there's actually a school for adulting?
I believe it.
It is literally www.theadultingschool.com.
Look. People don't know how to adult in our generation. I'll put it that way, because I don't know if it was a thing before our generation.
Well, adulting is basically like being responsible. Adulting is being a responsible adult. That's why you see those memes that are like, I can't adult today.
Yeah, it requires a lot of energy to be a responsible, fully functional adult.
Yeah, this business was started. It's a true online school. They have webinars, workshops, summits, blogs, and they really are taking people's money to put them in adulting school.
This is perfect for millennials. We love blogs. We love summits.
And I think millennials just like things in like very short segments, so but it's like show me one package things. Yeah,
this is made for me.
So they're saying in adulting school they teach you finance, health and wellness, make it fix it skills, and relationships and community. And so get this, and tell me if you would need any of these classes. So they have a laundry folding class.
I don't need that,
but should anybody really need that? By the time, because this is for like Grown look, people. This is for people who are in their 20s and 30s. If you don't know how to fold laundry, like, what?
Do you know how to fold laundry?
Yes, I can fold laundry.
Good. There are people who don't. And this is more
not... And that's the problem.
No, I don't even know if it's a problem, because they're getting help, okay? This is for people who want to have a certain level of mastery.
Mastery? No, these are basic skills.
No, they want to have a certain level of mastery. It doesn't require any kind of class to know how to fold laundry. Now, if you want to fold it really nicely, you might want to have somebody show you. Now, why you would go to the school versus just go on YouTube, I don't know. But hey.
Well, another class that they have here is grocery shopping. Now, I have to imagine that there's like more to that than just grocery shopping.
It's probably meal planning as a part of it.
Yeah.
Like how to keep a house stocked. Like your mom.
Exactly.
Like, I will give her that. She, when you go to this house, like, I wish, like, maybe we should do a video segment and just look at the pantry when we go
it's
inside
like
your mom's
full.
House.
It's full, and it has everything you would need to make a full meal.
Several full meals. It's, like, balanced. I bet a nutritionist could go in there and be like, wow, I have 7 meal ideas just from the spice rack.
Yeah, shout out, Mom. Because I sure know that, like, in our kitchen, I'm sure we don't have vanilla. I mean,
we got vanilla extract, though.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Like, vanilla extract. I feel like there's things that you just need around the house, and like, we don't have it. I feel like we end up going to the grocery store every single weekend. We get the same things. We get some ground meat, we get cheese and guacamole, or like avocados to make guacamole. We get some vegetables, and we definitely have chicken and barbecue sauce, corn and beans, and we like make those things like every week. But so maybe when they say grocery shopping, they actually mean like you said, meal planning, how to keep a stocked pantry. Those things, I could actually take an adulting class on that.
But see, here's where I'm going to kind of swing a little hard at this. Stuff like that, particularly when it comes down to the cooking, I think our parents created a problem for this generation. Uh-oh. Because they never...
Are you being millennial blaming right now?
No, millennials don't blame. We just explain what the real situation is, okay?
Proceed.
Parents have created a situation where they didn't ask or require, because, hey, some of us were rebellious. Didn't require us to learn the things that they had to learn. So I think it was kind of what I think happened is there was a negative backlash. So what happened is our parents were forced to adult from the age of probably 7 and up, where they had to do things that adults had to do. So they had to wash dishes, cook for people, watch kids, mm-hmm. siblings, take them places. They had to do a lot of things early because their parents had to work long hours or do other things. So they became adults early. And I think what happened is some other people, yeah, they kind of took that out on the kids and be like, I did it, so you're going to know these things. And other parents felt bad about that experience and made sure their kids didn't have to. And as a result, you have actual full-grown adults who don't know how to do those things.
Okay, that makes
don't
sense.
Don't know how to cook, don't know how to go to the grocery. If, like, yeah. they have to think really hard, like, I'm having a people over. What do I do? I need to have food. I need to have place settings.
But you know what? I think also some things have just been easy to outsource. And I know, like, in New York, people outsource everything.
Yeah.
But the number of people who I know who are in their late 20s who have cleaning people, I'm like, you hire cleaners? Like, that's a thing. Like, you're an able-bodied person.
Because they have income, so they can do it.
Well, it's not even so much income, because there's actually, like, a lot of Groupons. A lot of them will go in with their roommates and, like, everybody chips in to have the person come, like, once a month.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, they do, like, the deep cleaning. So I think sometimes things get outsourced. Other classes they have on here, how to fold a fitted sheet.
Now, that's kind of useful. I mean, I feel like very few people, that's, like, a special skill.
I'll tell you straight up, I don't know how to do that.
I have an idea about how you should do it.
An idea is not knowing how.
Okay, thanks for the obvious. What I don't think very many people know it. That's actually a
that might
thing
be a good
do.
One, yeah.
But once again, YouTube.
True. They said they have a class called How to Pop the Hood of Your Car and Other Car Basics.
The Other Car Basics, I think, is the gem of this idea.
Oh, but honey, just, like, honestly, like, have you always known how to pop the hood of your car before there's that little button? Like, now there's that knob that you could push, but did you always know how to pop it the old way?
I think everybody figures it out because you know, when our battery died, I was on the struggle bus because I couldn't find the latch, but I knew that there was one.
Right. But right how, in front. But I mean, if you would have known, like, I feel like that's one of those things that adults
here's the difference. We have grown up in a generation where, and I'm fully about this, where everything has been easily accessible or able to look up. Like, think about the idea that you used to have to know how to get someplace or know how to ask somebody directions with the expectation that they would know if you pulled over on the side of the street how to get somewhere. Now we have GPS and everything is done. So what, for the car analogy, grown-ups decades ago, you got a car and you learned your car.
Right.
And then you learned how most cars operated. So with our car, I didn't read the manual or anything, but I'm like, okay, you press the button, the hood pops up a little bit. There's a second latch that will allow you to lift the hood.
Right.
So I didn't know where the latch was, but I was looking for it because I'm like, there is a latch.
There's something, yeah.
And then when you get that, then that's cool. I feel like for you to need a class on it, I don't think popping the hood is the one. Maybe it's all the other car basics. It's the
car basics, yeah.
But I will say the fix-it part now that they have, that would be an interesting class to take, and maybe I would take that one because I feel like there's so many things I would do easily if I just knew without having to experiment what's the right thing to get. Because I actually love going to Home Depot, but sometimes I get lost because I'm like, okay, what type of spackle do I want? There's 3 million kinds.
Yeah.
And I feel like just knowing that kind of stuff, how to fix plumbing, the amount of trial and error I've done with trying to like find the right appendage to a pipe.
Right.
Those are things that's just good to know. So I think that's helpful. And I've actually seen friends on Facebook talk about that, how they want to get back to doing things with their hands and knowing how to do these things because we spend so much time just doing things on our computer and
everything
our phone.
Everything is cyclical. First they were doing everything with their hands. And then we're like, F that. Like, we want to do everything on a computer. And now we're like, oh no, we don't use our hands enough. And then we want to go back. Like, and then after that, we're going to be like, oh no, back to the machines.
Right.
Like,
and by then, the robots will do it all for us.
I know. It'll be like, you know, vintage to go back and like, I'm going to fix my car by myself, you know?
Well, yeah, kind of like, you know, there's some people who like, you know, the makers, like, oh, I used to work with someone who's like, yeah, so what did you do this weekend? Oh, I made a table.
Right.
I went and so it becomes, I chopped some wood.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
It becomes like a niche thing. Like,
right.
Yeah.
And it's like a niche thing to live. Next thing you know, we're going to be like, I hunted. I went out and I caught a bear. Like,
yeah. It seems like this adulting school may have some practical applications, even some things that like we could benefit from.
Because we're millennials.
I know. But they have some finance classes, it looks like, understanding interest rates, which we could all learn a little bit more there. How to practice gratitude.
That's the true thing for millennials. This idea that there's like a mindfulness aspect to adulting.
There has to be. You cannot be a fully balanced adult without your like meditation, yoga, spirituality, something in there to like ground you. That's very
hilarious to me. That this sits right next to finance and like plumbing.
Yeah.
And folding fitted sheets.
But also meditation.
So
yeah. It seems like it may not be off that much off base, and they're probably making a lot of money on it.
Well, I bet they are. There are a lot of people who want to do this.
Agreed. So I think that will bring us to the close of this week's episode.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. And we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.